بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. In the name of Allah, the Most Merciful, the One who bestows mercy, indeed all praise is due to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, and may peace and blessings be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, upon his family, companions, and all those who follow the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam until Yawm al-Qiyamah. In the previous lesson, we began going through the treatise Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba'a, the four fundamental principles, which is page number 17 onwards. Page number 17 onwards. And the author, rahimullah, he began with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, in the name of Allah, who is Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. He said, As'al Allah al-Kareem, Rabb al-Arsh al-Azim. I ask Allah the Kind, the Lord of the Great Throne, an yatawallaka fi dunya wal-akhirah, that He protects and supports you in the dunya and the akhirah, wa an yaj'alaka mubarakan aynama kunta, and that He makes you blessed wherever you may be. وَأَنْ يَجْعَلَكَ مِمَّنْ إِذَا أُعْطِيَ شَكَرٍ, and that He makes you from those people who when they are given, they show gratitude. وَإِذَا ابْتُلِيَ الصَّبَرٍ, and when they are tested, they have patience. وَإِذَا أَذْنَبَ اسْتَغْفَرٍ, and when they commit a sin, they seek forgiveness. فَإِنَّ هَذِي الثَّلَاثُ عُنْوَانُ السَّعَادَةِ, because these three are the key to happiness. And then the author, Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimullah, he said, اِعْلَمْ أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِهِ. Know, may Allah guide you to His obedience. And notice once again, the author, rahimullah, he makes dua at the beginning of this point. أَرْشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِهِ. May Allah guide you to His obedience. And this is, as we mentioned previously, the interaction which should occur in da'wah, or with the teacher to the students, that it is based upon mercy and compassion and making dua for each other. He said, أَنَّ الْحَنِيفِيَّةَ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. That الْحَنِيفِيَّةَ, it is the path of Ibrahim. أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصًا لَهُ الدِّينَ. That you worship Allah, making your religion sincerely for Him. So the first thing that the author began as an introduction before we go into the four principles is by explaining Al-Hanifiyya. And as he said, Al-Hanifiyya, this is the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam, the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Al-Hanifiyya, we discussed previously in Al-Usul al-Thalatha the definition of Al-Hanifiyya. Does anybody remember from the previous lessons the meaning of Al-Hanifiyya? From Al-Usul Al-Thalatha. Anybody? Al-Hanifiyya. Al-Millah Al-Mabniyya Al-Tawheed Al-Ma'ila An-Shirk. The path which is built upon Al-Tawheed, facing away from Al-Shirk. So this is the meaning of Al-Hanifiyya. Al-Millah Al-Mabniyya Al-Tawheed. The path which is built upon Al-Tawheed. Al-Ma'ila An-Shirk, which is away from Al-Shirk. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He described Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam as being Hanifa, meaning a person of Tawheed, away from Ash-Shirk. And Allah ordered our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to follow the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam, meaning the path of At-Tawheed. He said, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا وَمَا كَنَا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. And then we revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you follow the path of Ibrahim Hanifa, وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ, and he was not from the people of Ash-Shirk. So Al-Hanifiyya, it is the path of Al-Hanif. And Al-Hanif is also one of the nicknames or one of the terms which is given to Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Ibrahim alayhi salam, he is Khalilur Rahman, he is the most beloved of Allah, and he is also described as being Al-Hanif. And because this is from the ayat of the Quran. And Hanif, the one who is turning towards Allah and away from the other entities. The one who is turning towards At-Tawheed and away from ash-shirk. This is the meaning of al-hanif. And the author said that the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam is an ta'bud Allah mukhlisan lahuddin, that you worship Allah alone, making your religion sincerely for Him. So worshipping Allah in of itself is not Islam. Rather, you have to worship Allah, this is the first thing. And secondly, you have to disassociate yourself from the other acts of ash-shirk. So both of these things make up a tawheed. Number one, worshipping Allah upon tawheed. And number two, staying away from ash-shirk. And if you remember previously, when we went through the two pillars of La ilaha illallah, what did we mention they are? The two pillars of La ilaha illallah? An-nafi wal-ithbat. An-nafi means you have to negate everything which is worship besides Allah. And then al-ithbat is affirming tawheed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the author mentioned the same thing. He didn't just say an-ta'bud Allah, that you have to worship Allah. Because this in of itself isn't enough. You have to worship Allah, and you have to worship Allah alone. Mean there cannot be any shirk. And that's why he said, "An ta'bud Allah mukhlisan lahuddin," that you worship Allah, number one, and then you make your action sincere for Him. So there is no shirk in it. And also, this is the same wording which Allah mentioned in the Quran. This wording, "An ta'bud Allah mukhlisan lahuddin," this is in the ayah in Surah Al-Bayyinah, when Allah said, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. And they were not ordered except that they should worship Allah, making their actions or their religion sincerely for Him. So this is an introduction that the author is mentioning. The first introduction is that we have to follow the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam is al-hanifiyyah. And al-hanifiyyah is two things, worshipping Allah alone and then staying away from ash-shirk. Like Allah said in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create jinn nor mankind except to worship me. First of all, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he has three names by which he is known by apart from his name Ibrahim. He's known by Khalilur Rahman, which I mentioned, or Khalilullah, the most beloved of the most merciful. Secondly, he is known as Al-Hanif, because Allah said, Millata Ibrahima Hanifa. He described him as being Hanif. And thirdly, he is known as, Abul Anbiya, the father of the prophets, Abul Anbiya. So Nuh alayhi salam, he is Abul Bashar. He is the father of mankind, because after the flood, everybody died except Nuh alayhi salam and those who were with him. And then Ibrahim is known as Abul Anbiya, the father of the prophets. And this is because all of the prophets, they came from the progeny of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So as you know, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he had two sons. One was Ishaq and the other one was Ismail. Bani Israel, the prophets who came to the Israelites, all of them were from the progeny of Ishaq alayhi salam. And the prophets who came to the Arabs, they were from, of course, Ismail alayhi salam. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, hafizahullah, he says that all of the prophets after Ibrahim alayhi salam, all of them were from Bani Israel. The only prophet from Ismail alayhi salam was Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So all of them were from Ishaq, Bani Israel, and only our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam was he from Ismail alayhi salam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He made Ibrahim alayhi salam an imam who we should follow. Like Allah said, Ibrahim alayhi salam, He said, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. Allah said to Ibrahim, verily I will make you an imam for the people. Meaning somebody who should be followed. Somebody who should be followed upon a tawheed. And also Allah said, Inna Ibrahima kana ummah. That Ibrahim, he was an ummah. And here the meaning of ummah is a leader that the people should follow. What should they follow him in? In a tawheed. So all of the prophets and the messengers, all of them came with the same message. The message of worshipping Allah alone and staying away from a shirk. Like Allah said, وَلَقَدْ بَعَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ. We have sent to every single nation a messenger, أَنِ اعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ, telling the people to worship Allah alone and disregard the false deities. So the point is, all of the prophets and the messengers, all of them came with the same religion, all of them were Muslims, all of them were Hunafa, all of them were people of Tawheed. The only difference between the messengers is in terms of the Sharia, meaning the rulings, the halal and the haram, the things that they had to do and the things that they had to stay away from. So the core message of Tawheed and staying away from Shirk, this has remained the same in the religion of all of the prophets and the messengers. The difference is in the Sharia. And when we talk about the Sharia, we're talking about the punishments, meaning the punishments of the dunya, the punishments for stealing, the punishments for murder. These punishments, they may have differed. And we're talking about the ahkam. And the ahkam are the rulings of halal and haram. So some things for us may be halal, and for the previous nations it could have been haram. And every prophet, when he came with a new sharia, this sharia abrogated the sharia which came before it. And then our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came with the sharia of al-Islam, and this has abrogated all of the other previous sharia. So it isn't allowed for a person today to be a person of Tawheed, to be a true follower of Isa alayhi salam, and then he says, but I'm going to follow the sharia of Isa alayhi salam. Even if he's truthful, even if he 100% follows the sharia of Isa alayhi salam, then it isn't correct. He has to follow the sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then the author mentioned the ayah, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. Allah says, I did not create jinn nor mankind except that they should worship me. And the meaning of liya'budun, worship me, is upon at-tawheed. That we have to worship Allah upon at-tawheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, why did He place us upon this earth? For one objective, to worship Him alone. Some people fulfill this objective, and some people don't fulfill this objective. But the wisdom or the objective why Allah placed them upon the earth is to worship Him alone. Allah did not place us upon this earth to eat and drink and to enjoy and amuse ourselves. Rather, these things were made for us in order to help us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So eating and drinking and the clothes that you're wearing and the technology which you use and the cars which you drive, this isn't the objective of a person upon this earth. We don't live in order to buy the most expensive phone. We don't live in order to eat the most expensive type of food. These things are only matters which help us in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, we become like the animals, the cattle. So the cattle, their existence upon this earth is only to eat, drink, sleep, be of use to the humans and produce offspring. The humans and the jinn, Allah honored us both by making our objective that we worship Him. And everything else has been placed upon the earth in order to help us to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Muslim shouldn't be like those types of people that they become extremely happy when they enjoy food, or they become, their whole objective is buying the latest phone that they can buy. No, this is only something to help us in worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If these matters hinder us from worshipping Allah, then we stay away from them. Also, Allah did not put us upon this earth to benefit Him. Like us now, humans, we use each other, we employ each other. So if somebody has a company and he has people who work for him, these workers make him money. These workers bring him income, and he also gives them income. So they benefit each other, but not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala isn't in need of our ibadah. And that's why Allah said in the same ayah, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create jinn nor man can accept that they should worship me. Then he said in the very next ayah, مَا أُرِيدُ مِنْهُم مِّن رِزْق. I don't require any rizq from them. Allah doesn't require from us any food or drink. وَمَا أُرِيدٌ يُطِعِمُونَ. And neither do I want from them to feed me. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُطْعِمُ وَلَا يُطْعَمْ. Allah feeds others, He provides for others, He isn't provided for. Allah يرزق ولا يرزق. Allah gives other sustenance, He isn't in need of sustenance. So Allah did not place us upon this earth in order for us to eat and drink and this is all that we have. Neither did Allah place us upon this earth because He is in need of us. Rather, Allah places upon this earth and He ordered us with His worship because we are in need of His worship. So even this ibadah which Allah has ordered us with, it is for our benefit. And the benefit is that if you do this ibadah, then Allah will honor you with the reward of the hereafter. This is the benefit for you. That if you want to be from those people who Allah honors in the hereafter, then do ibadah. So Allah has made this ibadah an avenue for us to be honored. And this shows that this ibadah is for our benefit and not for the benefit of Allah. So if all of the people had iman in Allah, and if all of them believed, then this would not increase Allah in anything. And if all of the people disbelieved in Allah and they rejected Allah, then this would not decrease Allah by anything. The only people who benefit are those people who worship Allah. We are the ones who benefit from the ibadah. So this is the first introduction. The first introduction is that we have to follow the path of Ibrahim alayhi salam, worshipping Allah alone, staying away from ashirk, and this is why Allah has created us. Then there is a second introduction that the author mentions. And that is, فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَكَ لِعِبَادَتِهِ. If you now know that Allah only created you for His worship. Why? Because you have read that Allah said, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I did not create jinn, nor mankind except that they should worship me. So if you understand that Allah has only placed you upon this earth for His worship, for His ibadah, fa'alam, then you have to also know أَنَّ الْعِبَادَةَ لَا تُسَمَّ عِبَادَةً إِلَّا مَعَ التَّوْحِيدِ. That ibadah is not considered as being valid ibadah without at-tawheed. It has to have at-tawheed. So ibadah, for any action to be accepted by Allah, two conditions have to be fulfilled. For any action to be accepted by Allah, two conditions have to be fulfilled. What are those conditions? Talha? What are the two conditions for any ibadah to be valid? Anybody? Good. Firstly, al-ikhlas. Write this down so you don't forget. So two conditions for ibadah to be accepted by Allah. Two conditions for ibadah to be accepted by Allah. Firstly, ikhlas. Ikhlas and at-tawheed. Meaning any action which you do has to be sincerely for the sake of Allah. So any shirk or any riya, any showing off, that then it invalidates the ibadah. Al-ikhlas and at-tawheed. The second condition is al-ittiba'. And al-ittiba', it means that this action which you are doing has to be according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So if a person follows the sunnah of the Prophet in doing this action but he doesn't have al-ikhlas, then this is a shirk. And if a person has ikhlas and tawheed and doesn't follow the sunnah of the Prophet in doing that action, then it is bid'ah. And in both cases, the action is not accepted by Allah. So both of these conditions have to be fulfilled. If somebody does an action sincerely for the sake of Allah, upon tawheed, only for the sake of Allah, but it isn't upon the sunnah of the Prophet, then it is also rejected. And there are many evidences for this. Here the author only mentioned the first condition. He said, ibadah is only considered as being ibadah if it is with at-tawheed. He didn't talk about al-ittiba'. Why? Because this treatise is regarding at-tawheed and ash-shirk. So because this treatise is about at-tawheed and ash-shirk, he only spoke about the first condition. That ibadah is only called ibadah if it is with at-tawheed. And then he gave an example which makes it very clear to the people. He said, كَمَا أَنَّ الصَّلَاةَ لَا تُسَمَّى صَلَاةً إِلَّا مَعَ الطَّهَارَةَ. Just as salah, prayer, it is not called salah without purification. So if a person, he makes his intention sincerely for the sake of Allah, and he comes to the masjid, and he faces the qibla, and he does everything right, all of the takbirat and surat al-fatih and all of the sujood and ruku, he does everything correctly, but he isn't upon at-tahara, he doesn't have wudu. Is his action valid? No. He has to go, repeat his wudu, and then he has to repeat his salah. In fact, that action which he has done, it's not even called salah. Even if he prayed 1,000 salawat, then it is not valid. Why? Because he doesn't have wudu. Wudu is a primary condition of salah. Like this, ibadah. So ibadah is just the same. Just as salah is not accepted without wudu, then tawheed is not accepted, then ibadah is not accepted without a tawheed. He said, فَإِذَا دَخَلَ الشِّرْكُ فِي الْعِبَادَةِ فَسَدَتْ. So whenever shirk, which is the opposite of tawheed, whenever it enters into ibadah, it corrupts it. He said, كَالْحَدَثْ. Like breaking wudu. إِذَا دَخَلَ فِي الطَّهَارَةِ. If you break your wudu, if you invalidate your purification, what does it do to your prayer? It also invalidates the prayer. So tawheed and shirk is like wudu and a salah. That salah is not accepted without wudu, and ibadah is not accepted without a tawheed. Hadath, invalidating your wudu, invalidates your salah, and also a shirk, it invalidates your ibadah. So this is the second introduction. The first introduction was what? That Allah created us to worship Him alone. Allah created us for ibadah. The second introduction is that ibadah is only called ibadah if it is with tawheed, just as salah is only considered as being salah if it is upon at-tahara. What is the definition? What is the definition of at-tawheed? What is the definition of at-tawheed in Arabic? In Arabic. Ifran. Okay, write it down. Ifradullahi bil ibadah. The most simple definition, ifradullahi bil ibadah. Ifradullah bil ibadah. Ifradullahi bil ibadah means to single out Allah in worship. The most basic definition is ifradullahi bil ibadah. Single out Allah in worship. What is the meaning of shirk? What is the definition of shirk? Either you can say ضد التوحيد, the opposite of a tawheed. So if you know tawheed, then you know a shirk. Or you can say دعوة غيره معه, to call or worship somebody besides Allah. دعوة غيره معه, to call or worship other than Allah along with Allah. So just as we have to know Tawheed, we have to know Ash-Shirk. And then after this, there's a third introduction. The third introduction, the author said, فَإِذَا عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ الشِّرْكَ إِذَا خَالَطَ الْعِبَادَةِ. If you know that Shirk, if it enters into Ibadah, أَفْسَدَهَا, that it corrupts it, وَأَحْبَطَ الْعَمَلِ, and it invalidates all of the actions. وَصَارَ صَاحِبُهُ مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ فِي النَّارِ. And you know that the one who commits shirk remains in the fire forever. عَرَفْتَ أَنَّ أَهَمَّ مَا عَلَيْكَ. Then you know that the most important thing which you have to learn is مَعْرِفَةُ ذَلِكَ. You have to learn التوحيد and you have to know about الشرك. Why? لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَن يُخْلِصَكَ مِنْ هَذِي الشَّبَكَ. Because if you know توحيد, and if you know a shirk, then Allah will perhaps keep you safe from it. وَهِيَ الشِّرْكُ بِاللَّهِ, and it is a shirk with Allah. Like Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah does not forgive that partners are set up besides Him. Shirk is done. وَيَغْفِرُ مَا دُونَ ذَلِكَ لِمَنْ يَشَاءَ, and He forgives whatever is less than that to whoever He wills. So these are three important principles regarding at-tawheed and ash-shirk. The first principle is that Allah created us for ibadah. This is the first principle. Allah created us for ibadah. The second principle is, or the second introduction is, that ibadah is only correct and valid if it is based upon a tawheed. And if any shirk mixes into the ibadah, it invalidates it. The third introduction is, then if you know Allah created you for ibadah, if you know that Allah created for you for ibadah, and if you know ibadah is only ibadah with tawheed, and if you know that shirk, it invalidates ibadah, then what's the most important thing which you have to learn? A tawheed and a shirk. Why is this the most important thing? Because this is why Allah created you. Allah created you for ibadah. This is your main objective upon the earth. This ibadah is not complete without a tawheed. This ibadah is invalidated with a shirk. So therefore, what's the most important thing for you to learn and know? The meaning of tawheed and the meaning of shirk, and how you differentiate between acts of tawheed and acts of a shirk. And of course, there are many punishments for a shirk. First of all, Allah does not forgive it. Like He said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Firstly, Allah does not forgive for shirk to be committed. Secondly, whoever commits shirk will never enter into Jannah. Like Allah said, إِنَّهُ مَن يُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجَنَّةِ. Verily, whoever commits a shirk with Allah, then Allah has forbidden him from Jannah. And the person, of course, will enter into the fire. So these are introductions. That he mentioned three important introductions before we enter into the four principles. We'll suffice with that, bi-idhnillah. Wallahu a'lam, sallallahu ala nabiyyina sallam.